that game, the video game Stray. Have you heard of it?
We've been playing it as well. It's so good. Literally this week. That's what we've been doing. It's so good.
And my it is all amazing. Of the animals have at some point started staring at the screen and been like,
Percy did the exact same thing. When the little meow started, she started looking and then went right up to it and was like, and like, she doesn't really see other cats. So you see the real existential crisis happen when she's like, there are more of us?
Yeah, you've done something different to your cat.
Yeah, like,
is that me?
Yeah, she doesn't understand. Oh. It's so funny.
Yeah, I took a video of Maude like walking up to the screen and she's like staring at it and then she just puts her little paw up and like tried to swat at it. It's so cute. And then Cricket just stares at it. He's just fascinated. But I love the little, like, there's so many funny details that are in that game of, like, the things you can do as a cat. Like, the just scratching on the side of couches and things like that that don't serve the game. They're just fun.
I love the way they interact with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, with the other little cats on screen. That's so cute. When they, like, go up to each other and will, like, lick each other and then just walk away from each other. Like, the way that they're, like, affectionate and then they're just like, I don't know you. It's so good.
Also, I don't know how far in you guys got, but there's a part where a bag can get stuck on your head.
Oh my god, no, I've not got that.
It's so cute. It happens a couple, like, that's this adorable. Throughout, but sometimes you can put a little bag on your head and then the controls for you are all messed up because you can't see, so you just like walk in crazy directions and it's so funny.
I love it. That's amazing. Yeah, we've been really, really enjoying it. Like, it's so good.
It's extremely fun. Also, even if you're not a cat person, it's a really good game. But also, we're not talking about that the whole time. Ella, do you want to tell them what we're doing?
Give them a little rundown? Absolutely. We're going to have our pet updates. Because we need to know what's going on in everyone's lives. And then we're getting into possibly the most comforting of all the creatures, talking animals.
Yep.
This is going to be a recurring segment because there's a lot of ground to cover. There is endless ground to cover, actually, in the sphere, in the realm of talking creatures. But we are going to be focusing today on live action talking animals because we have some thoughts and feelings.
Yes. And we think it's the shorter of the, if we start talking about animated ones, we're going to be here all day.
Absolutely. Like, Disney is going to last us several years.
Yes.
So, and that's fine with us.
Yes.
But we thought we'd start with the manageable. The manageable theme.
Yeah. And then I'm going to do a little pet art history about Rosa Bonheur. It's very French. Mm. And I looked up how to say it and I am going to say it that way because there's no way I'm saying it right. but it's Bonheur. And
You're not a French speaker, Alexis?
I'm not. And here's the thing. I took Spanish and I took Italian and French is just a big old mystery to me. It seems to me you just don't pronounce half the letters.
Yeah, Bonheur.
See, there you go.
I did learn French.
I'll just put in Ella saying
all the French things and then you do the rest.
So look forward to me just stumbling through French things. And that's about it.
You may have noticed that, like, there is no cat right now. The cat is at the cat hotel because I go to Ireland tomorrow morning, but, like, I'm leaving the house at, like, 4 a.m.
in
the
morning. Oh, gosh.
Which I really enjoy. I really enjoy that. Like, and I'm only going for a few days, but I really, like, it feels like I'm going on holiday.
Yeah, definitely.
And so Persephone has a lovely cat hotel that she stays in. Shout out Pearly Cattery. You guys are amazing. We love you. And they love her there. And, like, you know, Bengals aren't always the easiest. Not everyone gets their unique energy, but they've been looking after cats for like 30 years and they've all had Bengals. So they're obsessed with her. So they're always really thrilled to see her, which makes me really happy. So normally what happens is when we're taking her to the cat hotel, we normally either get a lift with my mom or you get an Uber. But in a very stressful series of events, my mum's car got stolen this morning, which has been a bit of a nightmare.
Oh my God.
Actually,
yeah.
As is generally the case when cars get stolen. It's been really stressful. My poor mum, bless her. So she couldn't give me a lift. And I was also just like, I don't want to spend another more money on Ubers. Like, no, I'm not doing it. You're a cat. You don't need a chauffeur.
Yeah.
We're going to get on the train. Now, the reason I normally get a car or an Uber is because I was under the impression that Miss P hates travel. Mm-hmm. Because whenever I take her to the cat hotel in the car, she shrieks the whole journey. And you know, it should be like a half hour journey, but because of traffic and whatever, it always ends up being like 45 minutes to an hour. She will shriek the whole time. When it's my mum, it's fine. We just ignore her or laugh. But you know, as an Uber driver, I'm like, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah. It's so distracting. I'm so sorry. So I've been really nervous about taking her on the train. And like, that's been a real shame because she quite likes going for walks at the local park. And I see a lot of Bengals on social media, like going on adventures. And I'm like, oh, what a pity that P doesn't like traveling. Otherwise we would do that. Persephone loves the train.
Oh,
loves the
weird.
Train. Got on the train for the first time today. She was so calm. It was bizarre. I don't know if it's just that, like, because her entire life, you know, we've taken her on walks. And for a lot of the walk, you know, she'll come out and travel, that'll explore and she'll chase a bird. And I always carry her like in a rucksack on my front.
Yeah.
And she generally just like gets back in the rucksack. So I don't know if that is just comforting for her because mm-hmm. she's been doing that since she was a kitten. But yeah, strapped to my front in her rucksack, literally just curled up at the bottom of her bag and just like looked out of the world. Not a peep. So chilled the whole time. It was amazing. It was the most calm experience ever. So I'm thrilled. Like, I'm like, this is unlocking a whole new world for us. Like, we're going to go to the beach. We're going to go to the countryside. I can take you places now.
As long as on the train.
As long as it's on the train. So the journey was like an hour and 20 on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, as in like door to door. So I'm figuring like, as long as I keep it within that, which will definitely get us to the beach.
Yeah.
Because London is 1 hour from Brighton on the train and that's fine.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna take her to the beach. It's gonna be great. She's never seen the sea. I'm so excited.
Oh, I can't wait
already. Yeah, there'll be so many videos. It's gonna be excellent.
I love it.
So Alexis, tell us about the quads. I'm really enjoying calling them the quads.
Ooh, that's good too. Yeah, I like that you give them, I think, a new name every episode also.
I think so. Yeah. The quads, the crew, the squad. What's going on with your letter, Alexis?
Oh, thank you. Today, and I should say the day that we are recording this, which is a full month before it's going to come out, but I still, it would be unfair of me not to mention it. Today is Maud's 10th birthday.
Oh my God. Happy birthday, Maud. So that's huge.
It's huge. 10 whole years, a decade old. I was looking at, I have, because Maud was my... like the cat that lived with me in high school, my mom's cat, her baby. So I was looking at all her little like kitten photos and I was like, 10 whole years you've been with me.
That is really, that's like quite emotional.
Right? Yeah. There's something and, like when I think about like how much of my life she's been there for, it's like, you've seen everything.
Like where were you 10 years ago?
Oh
like,
my God.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's, I was in college when I got her. Yeah, I guess that's part of it, too. It's like she's lived at so many different houses with me and different roommates and different people. Like, just all of it. She's been there the whole time, basically. Because I got her my third year of college, I believe. And she's awesome. And she, I don't know what we're going to do yet because we're still, it's morning here. But probably get her some sort of fish treat or something, as you do. Fish cake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bake up some fish cakes. So that's adorable. And I'm proud of her. 10 whole years.
Yeah.
A little beach ball. So that's cats. And Millie will be there. She'll put up with it, is how I feel.
Millie will have a slice of fish cake.
Yeah, exactly. She'll be there. She'll sing the birthday song. I did also yesterday buy some dog bones, like new little treats. They're like salmon rolls that dogs and cats can have. And I was like, "This, wow, look at this, a treat for the whole family." But the cats do not care about them at all. They were like, "I don't want this."
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But the dogs, I always forget this happens, but if it's any sort of like long-term chew, they, Cricket eats it so fast. Like he just annihilates, but I don't know how he does it. I don't think he chews them enough, which is a little troubling. Mm. But then Crumb loves to make them last, and he like will probably spend days on them if he could. But
that's so cute.
It's really sweet. Except what happens is then like I don't know. Cricket pulls the classic like, "Wait, where's my bone?" And you're like, "You ate it, bud. It's gone. You ate it." So then they end up like barking at each other because Cricket tries to steal Crumb's bone because he's like just barely started it.
Yeah.
So that's what's been going on the past 2 days for me, is because I still want them to have their treats, but it's a whole battle.
That is a real sibling thing. Yeah. Like that is such a sibling squabble. And I feel like if you grow up with siblings, you, Alexis, are you an only child?
I am not. I have a half brother, but I'm much older. Or he's younger. So he's 8 years younger than me.
Okay. So did you have to share much with him when you were growing up? No.
No. We were so much different in age that like I was more like a built-in babysitter, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Right. Yeah. So I'm 6 years older than my sister. So kind of similar. Mm-hmm. And very much had to just like lay down the law very quickly. Like if you eat your thing fast, that's a shame. That's your thing.
Yep.
Just like so early on had to do that. But it's really funny because my boyfriend who I live with is an only child. he has half siblings that didn't grow up with him. Yeah. So he's his mum's only baby. Mm-hmm. And if Michael ate his thing quickly, his mum would give him half of her thing. Oh. And now when we live together, it's exactly the same. It's like he eats his thing fast and then he looks at me like, I want some of yours. And I'm like, no, because I had to teach my sister the same thing. And so I feel like it's important for the older brother to lay down the law, to set his boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very much team Crumb on this.
Yes, absolutely. And it's also so indicative of Cricket's goldfish brain, where I'm positive that he's like, has no memory of having a bone. And it's like, what? Crumb's got a bone? This is not fair. Like, there's no way he remembers eating it.
Oh my God. Bless him.
I love him. But he's just, like, he just is constantly staring at you with such a blank expression where it's just like, there's just nothing going on. And I love it. So that's what's going on in my house. We've got birthdays and bones and
Birthdays and bones. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Should we talk about some talking animals?
Yes, please.
Where to start?
Right. Honestly. Okay. Can I start with my really strong opinion?
Yeah.
Can we start with my strong opinion? Yeah. Okay. So, The Lion King.
Yes.
The original, I think it's 1995 version of The Lion King. Mm-hmm. My favorite Disney film, like bar none. I'm obsessed with it. I've watched it a million times.
Yeah.
I love Lion King 2 as much, which is rare for any sequel.
It's rare.
Let alone a Disney sequel. Lion King 2 is so good. It's so underrated. It's amazing. I love both films for a variety of reasons. I love lions. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that it's like non-European.
Yeah.
I love the fact that like Lion King 1 is basically Hamlet and Lion King 2 is basically Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Like I'm here for all of it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously Disney is going through a thing of doing like live action remakes of classics. I have a bit of a bugbear with that anyway, because I'm just like, tell new stories, guys.
Yes.
New stories. You've got like all this money, all these resources, this team of writers and producers and creatives. Tell new stories. Mm-hmm. They are, but I'm just a bit like, do we need? Anyway.
Yes.
Whatever. 100%. I understand the appeal, kind of like a live action Cinderella or like, you know, live action Beauty and the Beast. I love Emma Watson. Right. I loved Harry Potter. I love her as Hermione. She's very good as Belle. I get the appeal. Yeah. Tell me why, Alexis, you would want to make an anthropomorphic lion more lion-like. because surely, as an audience member, the empathy you feel for, you know, Simba's struggle watching his father's death and then coming of age as a young lion and then reclaiming his birthright comes from the fact that his expressions and his responses are quite human-like. So why would you make it more realistic?
Yeah, it feels like let's make a less emotionally like poignant movie.
And let's just make like a knockoff of what David Attenborough is already doing really well. Like it really ignited a kind of rage in me when I saw it. I was like, for what purpose? For why? I don't understand.
I don't need them. And this is okay. So obviously those are all CG. This brings us to, I think, a good place to talk about like the early film when it was like the actual animals. And I was like looking this up too, because apparently I thought the first one was Mr. Ed, the talking horse, but apparently the first one was Francis the Talking Mule in 1950. And I skimmed through it because the whole movie is on YouTube just because I wanted to hear the mule's voice. And he's got like this rough, weird voice. But I think mostly what this leads me to is no matter what, like these old ones, we'll talk about more specific ones throughout, but these new adaptations, even though they are CG, they're meant to be real, like never really work for me. They're not ever my thing.
Me neither.
I would always prefer it to be animated.
Same. I just don't connect. And it's the same thing. Like when I watch a documentary, and I love nature documentaries, I connect because it feels authentic, because Attenborough or whoever's narrating is narrating like the real drama of, you know, the savannah, of the pride lands, of the jungle. There's an authenticity there that you really connect with. And so like I think that the drama comes from the fact that those are real animals, but like no one's doing their voices.
Yes.
You know, we're finding drama in their relationships and in their dynamics that we know exist and are kind of like scientifically proven to exist. And like, that's what's so fascinating. We're like finding the human in those animals. We're not like projecting a weird like facsimile of human onto those animals. It's just strange.
It's strange, yeah.
It's really strange. We were talking a little bit earlier about then when they sort of merge the two. So for example, like in Garfield, and I watched Garfield 1 and Garfield 2. For some reason, it was a movie that my little sister, shout out Safi, was obsessed with when we were growing up. It's really funny. I don't know why. There was a period where all my sister watched, like on a loop, was Garfield 1, Garfield 2, and The Incredibles. I don't know what that was about, but look, okay, each to their own. They are great films.
Yeah.
But again, the internal logic of that movie where animated Garfield talks to the camera, doesn't talk to the humans.
Yes.
But we are to understand has like human intelligence. But then non-animated Odie the dog doesn't talk to camera and is like thick. You know what I mean? Like Odie is stupid. Yeah. And is that supposed to be like some kind of commentary on like cats and dogs? It's just, I'm like, huh.
It's strange too because like, you know, that follows the comics. Like Odie was dumb, you know, that it makes sense. Yeah. But it is strange to like, why not still animate Odie? Like why?
Yeah.
It's.
And then, and yeah, for sure. And then in the same vein, Stuart Little.
Yes.
Even more strange. Like the logic of that one is even stranger. animated Stuart Little mm-hmm. can communicate with his human family. Snowball the cat, I don't think is animated, but his face and mouth are animated.
Right.
Because he, like, his mouth moves as he talks.
Yeah.
So that is animated, but I don't think the actual, like, there was obviously, like, a cat double or a couple of cat doubles yeah. for Snowball. So Snowball the cat is very, very real looking. Cannot communicate with the humans, but can communicate with Stuart and other cats. Stuart Little too.
Yep.
So then I was like, okay, maybe this is just like maybe cats because they're pets can't communicate with humans, but mice because they're anthropomorphic in this right. magic realist version of New York can communicate with humans. But then Marigold the bird, or no, what's her name? Marigold or Marjorie or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen it. But
do you
yeah.
know who I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, the little bird who has, she's like flying goggles and a little flying hat.
Yeah.
And she's adorable. She can communicate with the humans and also can communicate with Stuart and the cat. So like, all I'm asking for is some consistency.
Yes.
Like, all I want is a through line in the representation of which pets do and don't understand humans.
Yeah. Yeah. It also, it's interesting to me because, well, we gotta say it on the show. Stuart Little written by M. Night Shyamalan.
I have so many questions.
Yeah. As you should. I learned that very recently and it just fully blew my mind. I didn't.
Yeah, no, that can.
If you would have paid me, like, or of all a list of all the directors and all the world or slash writers, I would not have even put him on the list to have written Stuart Little. It just wouldn't have crossed my mind that would have happened.
Absolutely not. If I was on a quiz show and that was the question and he was one of the options, I would rule him out by process of elimination immediately.
Immediately, yes. You'd be like, well, no. That's silly.
Definitely not.
That's the comedy the comedy answer you put in there.
That's the joke one. Yeah.
No. So Stuart Little screenplay was by M. Night Shyamalan, which maybe that's why it's weird.
Yeah, for real.
It's also, I feel like there are movies that do it well, that blend. Like Paddington.
Oh, so good.
And I would say...
So good.
The Muppets, while it's not animated, it is still that blend of real and things, yeah. which are movies that I've compared already. But it's like such a fine line to get right. Like,
yeah,
you really have to set things up. Because I'm trying to think if... Are there normal... There must be normal animals in Paddington as well.
I think there are. I think there are dogs and stuff.
Yeah. And for some reason, that one, because they like, there's so much just like, oh yeah, that's Paddington. He's from Peru. That one doesn't bother me as much. Like it's never, do you know what I mean? Like,
Completely. Garfield for me bothers me the most.
Yeah.
I can't even really articulate why. Yeah, it just always felt so bizarre to me that, like, Odie is just, like, this, like, stupid dog that, like, doesn't speak.
I mean, it doesn't help that I think Garfield is, like, kind of a famously not good movie. So.
I mean, that too. I actually think that's also probably what it is. Like, maybe it's just terrible.
Partially just that they didn't do it very well.
No, I think I agree with you. I think Stuart Little is slightly better.
Yeah.
Because he's so cute,
he's really
and
cute.
Like, you know, the world they construct around him with all the tiny like cars and beds and stuff and all of this kind of narrative about like found family and are you a man or are you a mouse and all of that stuff there's a lot of heart to it.
Yeah.
For me, I got thrown off in Stuart Little too because of the bird. That I was like, because in my head canon, in Stuart Little 1, mm-hmm. I was like, Snowball could talk to the humans and is choosing not to because cats are assholes.
Yeah.
And that cat is like, I actually don't have anything to say to you people. you feed me and care for me. And why should I bless you with my fabulous conversation?
Yeah.
Like that seemed like very Snowball energy. But then when the bird could talk as well, I was like, I'm just so confused about the rules now. Like, and then there's the falcon. Can the falcon talk? But it just,
right.
It muddied the water a little bit for me.
What are your feelings on, like, like The Incredible Journey, like Homeward Bound, like those types of, if you remember those, like older...
Homeward Bound, is that?
It's the one where there's two dogs and one cat and they get separated from the family.
No. I do remember. No. I don't like it. I don't like it when it's real animals and voices.
Yeah.
I just think that, like, for me, that idea where it's like a real animal with like a narration works best on like TikTok or Instagram where people are doing like imaginings of what their pets are thinking and saying. That to me is really funny in a short form. I think that works really well. But no, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it just doesn't quite marry up. I'm like, that dog is not thinking that.
No, you know? Agreed. Yeah. And it's just, even that movie as a kid, like, I do think probably effectively so, it's a little bit more stressful. Like the movie itself, because the whole thing is like, they got to get back to their family and bad things happen to them. It's, I think also just even then I was like, you're making it harder for me to watch. I'm like more stressed when they get hurt and things like that, because it's a real animal that I'm watching and you've given it a voice.
100%. And now
I'm like,
oh man, that's so true. That is so true.
I don't like that. Even though, like, I don't want a cartoon dog to get hurt. There is that nice thing of like, oh, it's a cartoon dog. Whereas, like, I don't know how much is the dog acting. Is it okay? Like, I don't know. And then you mentioned the ones where animals don't talk but seem to just be able to, like, communicate. Like Lassie and things like that.
They are, okay, so I like it when it's like really focused on like an individual relationship between creature and person. So like in like War Horse, you know, where like it's not that the horse can talk. It's that like they have this bond and they understand each other. That's really nice. Lassie is not for me.
War Horse is such a funny
Yeah, do you know what I mean, though? Like, they have this, they you know, they traverse, you know, a world war to find each other and be reunited, and you're just like, oh, that gets me.
Yeah.
But Lassie and, like, Beethoven, no. Mm-hmm. I just...
They're never my favourites.
No, the suspension of disbelief required is actually a bit much for me. I realise I'm saying that as a fantasy writer.
I just don't buy it.
I believe dragons more than I believe that person is like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, Lassie. All good. I just know. Because also, I believe, again, it's like if it's like one person, but it isn't. It's like quite a few people can make sense of Lassie's yaps and scratchings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's not actually how it works.
I feel like there's an amount that I can get into. Because, like, even within our own pets, like, when you know an animal, you're like, yeah, I do know what weird thing you're trying to say.
Yeah.
But then 100%. Every once in a while, it's like, I don't know if you could really get, like, Timmy is trapped in a well from those yelps. You would know something's wrong and to follow the dog, but I don't know if you'd be able to translate it.
And again, it's like, you know things that your pets are trying to tell you, and I know things that my pets are trying to tell me, but, like, it's like quite a few people are able to deduce what, like, I'm like, no, again, it needs to be about that special bond. Exactly, Crumb. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Margalo is the name of the bird in Margalo. Stuart Little. Yeah, and she's adorable and I love her, but yeah, she
threw you off.
She just threw me off. I had to re-understand.
It just dawned on me.
That world.
Imagine how helpful it would have been for Sweet Lassie if he would have had the little buttons he could press to talk.
Oh my God, those buttons are amazing.
It would have been everything. And the weird
specifics
that they would have to make for Lassie, though, because it would have to be like, help,
yeah,
child, trapped. Like, they would have to be so specific to only Watsy.
It's so true.
So, that would be, I think, my preferred switch, like, fix for all of those. Is that...
Yeah, buttons.
Yeah. All those animals can now have buttons, and then I can buy that they're communicating better.
For sure. But in general...
Yeah.
I prefer animation.
100%, yeah.
And then because you can have so much fun with the expressions and stuff.
Yeah.
The mannerisms. We'll talk a lot more about animated animals.
Definitely. But yeah, I think that's...
In episodes to come.
That's our main takeaway from the segment right now is that's probably what we're going to be focusing on.
Oh, I have... No, yes. I have a final thought. Yes. I have a final thought. Another reason it bothers me so much is because, like, I will die on this hill. In The Lion King 1, mm-hmm. when Simba has that, like, growing up montage on the... He's, like, walking across the river on a branch, and he goes from, like, a cub to, like, a scrawny adolescent lion to, like, a man
iconic.
Lion.
Yeah.
He is a hot lion. Is a sexy lion man. And I... And then he harmonizes with Hakuna Matata and he swishes his mane.
Yeah.
And truly 5-year-old me was like, oh my God, I fancy Simba.
Right.
That is weird if it's a real lion. That's weird.
True. It's somehow even though both weird.
It is weird. Both weird. Weirder when it's a real lion. Yeah. But like, I reserve the right to fancy Disney heroes. And mm-hmm. so... Don't make him more realistic because then you're making me weird.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Also, part of that is like, you don't actually have a crush on the, you know, the little lion figure. It's like his voice and like what's happening.
Yeah,
and you're like, look at him.
And
he's maturing and he has like swagger.
Yeah, he has like a little strut. Yeah, like he has a little strut.
It's not, I think, again, it's that same thing of like, it's because also you can kind of picture the human version. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Like, but I don't need it. I don't need to picture the actual lion version. That's different.
I really don't.
No.
I really, really don't.
Yeah, that's, you're right. That is the perfect thing to end this on.
Carrie, is it?
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Carrie.
I am Psychic Ross, and I will be reading you this evening.
Oh, interesting. Well, okay. I co-host a podcast. It's called Ono, Ross, and Carrie.
Yes, I'm sensing that. The spirits are telling me. It is a show about
poodles. Well, it's about like fringe science and
yes,
spirituality
that's
and
correct.
Claims of the paranormal.
And
oh, you knew that.
You do research online.
But more importantly, like we do in-person investigations.
In-person investigate as well.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
See?
Me and my friend, this is so weird, my friend Ross, same name as you.
Weird.
He and I just go and try them all out. And actually, we've gone to a number of psychics. And to be honest with you, it's a lot like this. It's called Ono, Ross, and Carrie. They can find it at MaximumFun.org.
I could have told you that.
Hey there, I'm Ellen Weatherford.
And I'm Christian Weatherford.
And we've got big feelings about animals that we just got to share.
On Just the Zoo of Us, your new favorite animal review podcast, we're here to critically evaluate how each animal excels and how it doesn't, rating them out of 10 on their effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics.
Guest experts give you their takes informed by actual, real-life experiences studying and working with very cool animals like sharks, cheetahs, and sea turtles.
It's a field trip to the zoo for your ears.
So if you or your kids have ever wondered if a pigeon can count, why sloths move so slow, or how a spider sees the world, find out with us every Wednesday on Just the Zoo of Us in its natural habitat on MaximumFun.org.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Ella, are you ready for some art history lessons?
I'm so excited, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about Rosa Bonheur. Say it right again so that people know who I'm talking about.
Rosa Bonheur.
Yeah.
You were good. You were good. You got it. You got it. Bonheur.
Bonheur. Or if you're me, it's Rosa Bonheur. But let's go Rosa. I'm just going to say Rosa because we're good
Rosa.
Friends. Me and my pal Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
She was a painter in the 19th century, and she is known for her like incredible realistic paintings of animals. And this was like not that common at the time. Obviously now people paint animals constantly, but this was like, whoa, all this girl is painting is animals. Like, what's going on? But she's also like the coolest person I've ever read about.
Oh my God.
So first of all, like super unapologetically feminist views. So
amazing.
She, like, there's a quote where she says, "Why shouldn't I be proud to be a woman? My father, that enthusiastic apostle of humanity, told me again and again that it was a woman's mission to improve the human race. To his doctrines, I owe my great and glorious ambition for the sex to which I proudly belong, whose independence I'll defend till my dying day."
Love that.
And then she said, "Besides, I'm convinced the future is ours." Which, like, for a 17th century,
so
is, like,
ahead of
what?
Her time. Yeah.
And the very first painting of hers I ever saw is just, like, essentially Crumb. Like, she basically painted Crumb. I'll have to send it. We'll post it, but also.
Oh my God, I found
it. You found
it,
right?
Immediately have found it. And I know exactly what one you're talking about. That is literally Crumb.
Yes. Yes. So she. I guess that dog's name is
Tutu.
Tutu? Oh, yeah. Duh. I overthought it and I was like, you can't say it. You're going to embarrass yourself. And then I was like, oh, wait, that's an easy one.
Yeah, Tutu.
Tutu. So that dog's name is Tutu, not Crumb, which is the only thing she got wrong. But so she was born in Bordeaux, France, and her mother taught her piano. Her father painted portraits and landscapes where she learned how to paint, obviously. And she, her lifelong love of animals began when she was a toddler, where her father would like bring in like living creatures for her to study, and she would like copy them from books. So super early on, she started just like, I want to be an animal painter. That's what I want to do, which we love. Obviously, that's why we're talking about her. But also, she had a permit to wear men's clothing. Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yes. So this was like during like Victorian standards, like women were wearing like, you know, the full get up with that thing where you watch and you're like, that would take what, 3 hours to get dressed every day.
Yeah.
And she got what was called a cross dressing permit, which would allow them to wear trousers for 3 to 6 months. And the reason she was, normally they would only do it for medical or health reasons, but she like made a case to be like, I need to do this because I have to trudge around nature and paint animals, and I can't do that in a dress.
That's iconic.
Yeah. Yeah. And she also has the classic, like, this is a thing I love in history where like they couldn't say a person was gay or they didn't know. But it's like she also had a long term friend that like she sure spent a long time with. That was her best friend, though.
Her close personal friend.
Yeah. So she had a close personal friend.
Besties who lived together for, you know, decades.
Yes. So, yeah, she's a classic lesbian painter with a close personal friend. She was more famous in the UK than she was in Paris.
Mm.
And I don't know why, but I do always think that's interesting where like just for some reason a region was like, we love these. And then like her home country was like, no, this isn't for us.
I wonder if that's just because like the UK like has such a relationship with its love of like agriculture and the countryside. And a lot of her, you know, her paintings are of like cattle and horses and farming. And there's a real, especially at the time she was painting, you know, like, I guess, yeah, like the late 19th century, as industrialization was sort of sweeping across Europe, there was this real nostalgia for pastoral England.
Yeah.
And I guess it's kind of reflected a lot in like the literature of the time, like Tess of the D'Urbervilles, a lot of the stuff that Thomas Hardy was writing, like, you know, this as, you know, smog descended.
Yeah.
Industrialization
as things are getting
descended.
Like more. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. They long for this kind of like, it's probably just nice to be like, look at this. It's so much nicer than instead of looking at this smoggy factory to like, look at this, these sheep in a meadow.
100%. Yeah,
and sure. France was like, we're still looking at sheep in meadow. Like,
yeah, I feel like it was a big, it's definitely the 19th century. I feel like there was this real like, yeah, pastoral appreciation happening in British culture.
Yeah.
In literature, definitely. So that's like interesting that like she, yeah, her work was like adopted.
Yeah, totally. Almost, totally. You know? She also was the first female artist to be awarded the French Legion of Honor.
What?
Yeah. So she got the gold medal at the 1848 World's Fair as well.
That's so cool.
So she was just like winning awards and absolutely killing it. And now her her house is a museum. So you can.
Which one do you know?
It
I
is.
I wonder where it is. I want to go.
Let's see. Her work can be found in the Chateau de Rosa Bonheur, which is her home and studio nestled in the forest of Fontainebleau outside of Paris.
Perfect.
Yes.
Well done, Alexis.
Yeah, that was rough for me. I really...
No, you did a great job. You did a great job.
But yeah, her most famous painting is called The Horse Fair. And it's nice. She's really good. And she's one of those people that I just clicked on because I was like, wow, that looks like Crumb. And then I was like, this is the coolest person I've ever read about. Like,
yeah.
What? And that kind of concludes our little art history lesson.
Amazing. Yeah.
Well, that is our show today. I realized we never said, like, this is our first Just Us episode. That was...
Just Ella and Alexis having a chat about cats.
Yeah.
About animals.
So
great.
We just kind of want to set up early also, like, we won't always have a guest. Sometimes we're just going to talk to you about things we feel like talking about. As always, don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, whatever you're listening to, the podcast player thing that you're using. Just click the button.
The thing is Podcatcher. That's the phrase I'm hearing a lot at the moment.
Ooh, are we
the
on
podcatcher of choice?
It's truly, I feel like for a long time it was like people were only using one, and now it's like, I don't know, whatever you found today that you're using, rate, review, subscribe.
Whatever you found, that's correct. Well done.
Yes.
You did it.
Yes. Great job. Follow us on Twitter at Sea Creatures Pod. Follow us on Instagram at Comfort Creatures Podcast. And then email us your pet stories. Email us guest requests, whatever you want. Just say hi. That's comfortcreatures@maximumfun.org. And thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.